Different from what we normally do. Sometimes we need a shift from the norm to grab our attention and to shake our spirit just a little bit so we can focus on the one who is worthy. Convinced there is neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor powers nor principalities, nor things under the earth or above the earth, nor anything that shall separate me from the love of God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You can be seated. You know, it's so important to apprehend, thank you, Richard, to apprehend the love of God, to apprehend in our minds, to apprehend in our hearts the love of God that is so relentless for us, that is so lavish for us. You know, some of us might say, well, reckless love. What do you mean reckless love? I mean the kind of love that would cause you to give up your throne, that would cause you to leave your majestic place in heaven, that would cause you to say, you know what, I'm going to become like one of those little people down there. I'm going to bind myself to a human body, and I'm going to experience the pain. I'm going to experience the emotions. I'm going to experience the longings, the desires, the temptations. I'm going to experience what people go through. I'm going to leave my perfect abode, and I'm going to step down into humanity, and I'm going to die. I'm going to experience a torturous death for the sake of my creation. That, my friend, is reckless love. That is the kind of love that says, don't you dare get in my way, because I am coming through. I am coming for my people. I have come to rescue my sons and daughters. That, my friend, is reckless love. And when you catch that idea, when you understand the recklessness, the pursuit of God's love for you, then you realize, wait a second, I don't have anything to worry about. Well, my goodness, well, why am I so stressed out? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
If his eye is on the sparrow, I know he's watching me. Do not worry about what you will wear or what you will eat or what you will drink. Are not the poppies and the lilies of the field clothed in more glory than Solomon? If the Father notices when a sparrow, if not even a sparrow falls to the ground without his notice, how much more will your Father in heaven take care of you? Reckless love. Reckless love. Say, reckless love. When you understand the reckless love of God, you realize you don't have to worry about anything. In fact, it not only gives you peace, but the peace actually comes from a place of, what's our word this month? Faith. Say it again. Faith. Say it one more time. Faith. Comes from a place of faith. And so, Paul, I'm going to say Paul. The author of Hebrews actually didn't put his name on the letter. Did you ever forgot to put your name on your homework? I'm sure he had a good reason. But I think it was Paul. Paul in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, why? Because of his sacrifice, because of his reckless love for us, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Got a couple more verses to go. This is one I want you to catch right here, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. If you're taking notes in the church app, That's your first one, faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another, verse 24, to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Paul says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. If you're reading the NIV, it says, unswervingly. In other words, when you're driving your car down the road and you see somebody's got a piece of a tire that got left in your lane somehow, or you know something fell out of the back of a truck, you got to swerve to get around that obstacle. But you know what? The faith, the kind of faith that Paul is talking about here is the kind of faith that sees the obstacle and knows, you know what? I'm on the straight and the narrow road. The broad road is not for me. And I know I'm not going into that ditch over there. And if the road is too narrow for me to swerve around this obstacle, then my goodness, I'm going to have to go right through it. This, the kind of faith that Paul is talking about, is the kind of faith that empowers you to overcome any obstacle in your way. It's the kind of faith that says, you know what, the reckless love of God is coming after me, and so I'm going to be reckless in my love pursuit of him. And if his powerful love is empowering me, then I'm going to power right through this obstacle. Amen. Hold fast to your confession. What is the confession? Well, Paul tells us. That's why I read those first few verses. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. This right here, this is our confession. That Jesus Christ came, suffered, was tortured, and died on a cross. And he rose again on the third day. And because of that, we have confidence to boldly enter the presence of the living God. We know that our sin cannot detain us. It cannot hold us back. Our mistakes cannot stop us. Our failures cannot discourage us. Anything that the enemy throws in our way is overcomable. I just made a word. Overcomable. By the reckless love of God, which stirs up our faith. You see, if you want to catch a vision of this kind of faith, you have to understand who Jesus is. You have to understand what he does. In fact, I want to read to you a little bit of chapter 1 of Hebrews. You know, we've been in this book, if you don't mind, if you would turn to chapter 1. We've been in this book for about 3 weeks now. I think we have one more week left. And we've been talking about Hebrews, but I want us to really understand a little bit on a broader term what Hebrews is about. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. His Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is, catch this, the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe. Remember, we talked about it earlier. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes the angels winds and ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, O Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? If you're taking notes, point number one, Christ is supreme. Christ is supreme. That's your fill in the blank in the app. Christ is supreme. Paul starts out Hebrews with this foundation. He lays a foundation that Jesus Christ is glorious, that he's majestic, that he is God himself, that God has appointed him, that God has even said to him something that he's never said to anybody else. God said to Jesus, "You are my son, the firstborn." You know, Jesus left his throne and he took on humanity, but God says, "You're the firstborn of all creation." Jesus is glorious. He's lifted up on high. He is supreme over angels. He's supreme over anything that would come our way. When we understand the power, the wonder-working power, the power of Jesus, the very word of his power that upholds even the entire universe, that power loves us. That power lives inside of us. Can you imagine that? The love, that kind of power is available to us. And Paul says something interesting. He says, verse 12, "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And then in verse 13, he says, "Sit at my hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And so some of us may say, well, you know, Jesus is powerful. Jesus is good, but it doesn't always feel like it. You know, if Jesus is good, why am I still in this situation? I've been believing for this for a long time. I've been praying for my healing for years. I've been believing for an improvement in my finances for 3 years or however long you have been waiting on God to do something for you. Paul says, I lost my place. Praise the Lord. Paul says, verse 13, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And so we know that all things have already been put into subjection. If you read more in this chapter, you'll see it. But we're waiting on the manifestation of some of those things. And it's up to us to bring into subjection, through the power of God that lives inside of us, the things that God has called us to be responsible for. And so today, the title of my message is "Hold Fast to Your Confession." In other words, keep believing, keep praying, keep fasting. Be faithful, be full of faith, believe in Jesus, be faithful because of the one who is faithful. Because Jesus is faithful to us. That's what Paul said in verse 12. "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." So if we jump back to verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." He who promised is faithful. Jesus will never change. He doesn't change his mind about you. He doesn't change his plans. He doesn't decide one day, you know what, forget about those folks down there. I'm just gonna do things this way. Oh, I don't feel like keeping my word today. I just want to sit back and relax and just kick my feet up. And no, God never needs to take a break. God is faithful. He's faithful. And so we can rest in that. We can rest in that. The point number two, There are things that try to keep us from resting in the faithfulness of God. That's why Paul said, hold fast. In other words, hold tightly. Hold unswervingly. Don't let the obstacle in the road cause you to swerve off the road. You just got to go right through it. You got to believe that God has given you a jacked up pickup truck with four-wheel drive, and you're just going to blast right through whatever that thing is. Amen. All the men are just smiling right now. Hallelujah. The obstacles that try to keep us from resting in the faithfulness of God are sin and unbelief. Sin and unbelief. How do I know that? Chapter 3, verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 18. I can't speak today. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So see, we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. So in chapter 1, Paul has laid out the supremacy of Christ. And then we get to chapter 3, and he says, but if you're not willing to surrender yourself to the supremacy of Christ, see, God's not going to force you to do anything. If you're not going to be willing to obey Christ, if you're not going to be willing to believe in the supremacy of Christ, then how could you ever enter into his rest? If you don't really believe that Jesus is for you, if you don't really believe that Jesus is all-powerful, if you don't really believe that Jesus came and he gave himself up for you and he died and he rose again, then how in the world can you rest in life with all the problems and the troubles and the things of this world that try to weigh us down? All you got to do is turn on Fox or CNN. All you got to do is look at those bills that you're behind on. All you got to do is try to figure out, okay, I just graduated college. What in the world am I going to do with my life now? How in the world are you going to make it through all this pressure if you don't believe that Jesus is faithful? Jesus is faithful. And so if I want to be at peace in my heart, if I want to enter his rest, then first I need to believe him. I need to have faith. Faith February. Two, if I really believe him, then I'm going to act on that belief. Amen? I'm going to act out my faith. I'm going to have an act of faith. Faith without works is dead. Show me your faith, and I will show you my faith by my works. When you believe in Jesus, you obey Jesus. When you obey Jesus, you experience his rest. You experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And so then Paul goes on in the next chapter, Hebrews 4, verse 8. We're getting our Bible education today. This is a survey of the book of Hebrews, the short version. Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 8. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. You see, we don't have to work to earn salvation. God rested. Jesus did the work on the cross. And so we can rest in him. Verse 11, let us therefore... Here's that phrase, strive to enter that rest. That's point number 3 if you're taking notes in the church app. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God, here Paul goes again. exalting the name of Christ, exalting the power of God, refocusing our attention off the cares and concerns and anxieties and putting it on Jesus and the word of his power. It says, verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, to joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The word of God. Have you ever tried to explain to somebody the difference between the soul and the spirit? Those things are so intricately intertwined. I've heard several opinions about what the soul is, what the spirit is, you know, what it is, what it isn't. How are those things together? Have you ever thought about the bones and the marrow? You know, to get the marrow out of the bone, it's a very, if somebody's taking it out of your bone, it's a very painful process. Or if you're trying to suck it out of a chicken bone, that takes a lot of work, doesn't it? Those things are intricately intertwined. And so the word of God is so sharp. It's so powerful. It is so amazingly incredible that it is able to get even down to the most intricate problems of your life that you thought were unsolvable. The most difficult things that you thought you could never get out of. Those things that you said, oh my goodness, Father, what am I going to do? I have nowhere to turn. I can't go to the left. I can't swerve to the right. I just got to go through it. The word of God is able to pierce through your problem. Come on, somebody. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus is faithful. Therefore, let us strive to enter his rest. Let us hold fast our key verse, chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Okay, so I believe Jesus is faithful. I believe in the promise. I believe that because he died on the cross and rose again, he has come to live inside of me, and one day I will be with him in heaven. I know I got to hold fast. I know I can't swerve to the left or to the right, but how do I do that? How do I do it? You got to get your focus on Jesus. You got to get your focus on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stay on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stay on Jesus. Come on, if you know that song, sing it. I woke up this morning with my mind, and it was stay on Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. You got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus, anchored on Jesus, the supremacy of Christ. But how do I do that? Hold fast to your confession. You got to speak it. You got to declare it. You got to wake up in the morning and say, Jesus is greater. Jesus is more powerful. Jesus lives on the inside of me. Jesus created me. I used to have a shirt when I was a little kid that we got from here. I don't remember who sold it, but we had a speaker or worship band that said, God made me and God don't make no junk. God made me, and so today he has good plans for me. Today I'm going to live with an expectation that God has blessings in store for me. I'm going to live with a belief, with a faith that Jesus is going before me, that he is my rear guard, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that I am the head and not the tail, that he is my light. His word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of his power that upholds the universe upholds me. I pray that your faith is stirred today. Richard, would you come? I pray that your faith is stirred today. You know, I was thinking this morning, just taking in the beautiful atmosphere of worship in this house. It's so wonderful to just walk in and to see people with their hands lifted. To see people seeking God, taking in his presence, just becoming aware of his presence. And you know, it's so nice to have all the fixtures and things that enhance that experience, amen? And so this morning I was just admiring the lights. Are you thankful for the lights? I was admiring the smoke. And I was just thinking about what a step of faith. You know, years ago, we decided to start live streaming our services. You know, people could have criticized it. I'm sure there were people who criticized it. Why do we need to do that? Well, who's going to watch us on live stream? Is that really a wise thing to do? But you know what? We made an investment and we started live streaming our services. We took a step of faith. We took a step of faith. And then people that, not just people that come to Carpenter Shop, started watching our services live. People in China, people in Japan, people in India, people all over the world watch us on live stream. Who would have ever thought, by one little act of faith, why did we enter into this place, this promised land? You know, when God said to enter his rest, he was originally talking to Moses and Joshua and the Israelites, talking about the promised land. Strive to enter that rest was for them. God had a place of rest for us. He had a new level for us of live streaming. And we live streamed for a while. And then we made some upgrades. We got the lights. And now the live stream looks 10 times better than it ever did before. Amen? If you haven't looked at it, go look at it. It looks really good. And now, would you believe that, as probably most of you know, you saw on Facebook that now we are preparing to not just live stream on the internet, but to broadcast our services on television. Amen? Amen? And not because we worked hard. We were just faithful. We were just obedient. We rested in the instruction of the Lord. God said, do it, so we did it. And step by step, not seeing or knowing where we were going to end up, not knowing exactly how it was going to happen, not realizing that God was going to bless us to the extent that he is, now, all of a sudden, we've received an offer. Hey, we have a space for a church to come on television. Do you guys want to be a part? Come on, is that God or what? Is that God or what? You need to get your faith up. You need to get your hope up. Hold fast to the confession of your hope. For the God who promised is faithful. He's faithful, therefore we are faithful. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet. Jesus, we believe in you. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe in you, Jesus. I just want to invite you to reflect on an area of your life where you want to welcome God's faithfulness. Or maybe some of us just need to think about the times when God has already been faithful. Think about the supremacy of Christ in your life. What has he done for you? Just going to wait. wait on the Lord. I just feel like this is a time for a personal assessment.
Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.